This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This Day in Sports History. Hey, how you doing? Welcome back to This Day in Sports History. It's May 10th, and on this day in 1970, it was the Boston Bruins winning their first Stanley Cup in 29 years. It was Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals. The Bruins had won the first three games against the St. Louis Blues and were going for a sweep in a packed Boston Garden. These two teams had a little bad blood between them, though, going back to a preseason game, a stick fight between the Bruins' terrible Ted Green and the Blues' Wayne Mackey resulted in a fractured skull for Green. Green missed the entire season due to his brain injury. Side note, both players were charged with assault because of the fight. It was the first time criminal charges had been filed against a hockey player due to on-ice activity. Both were later acquitted. So despite that being months in the rearview, it still lingered with the Bruins. Here in Game 4, the game was tied at 1 at the end of the first. Boston's leading scorer that year, Phil Esposito, scored a second-period goal to tie it again at 2. In the third, the Blues took a 3-2 lead on a Larry Keenan goal, but Johnny Bucyk evened it again and the game went to overtime. With just 40 seconds gone in the OT period, a pass from Derek Sanderson behind the net to defenseman Bobby Orr set Orr up in front. He fired a shot as he was tripped, and the puck slipped past Glenn Hall for the series clincher as Orr flew like Superman through the air. It was the Bruins' first Stanley Cup since 1941, and it had been a breakout season for Orr, who led the league with 120 points, becoming the first defenseman to record more than 100, and he capped it with an iconic goal to win the cup. The shot of Orr in the air after being tripped by Noel Picard was turned into a bronze statue that resides out front of TD Garden. That statue was unveiled on this day in 2010 to commemorate the 40-year anniversary of what happened on this day back in 1970. Also on this day in 1973, the New York Knicks wrapped up the NBA championship in 5 games against the Los Angeles Lakers. And this time, it was a healthy Willis Reed who did not need a dramatic pregame entrance to fire up his team and his New York Knicks, shutting down the Los Angeles Lakers 102-93 to win their second NBA title in 4 years. In fact, this was the third time in 4 years the Knicks and Lakers had played in the NBA Championship Series. The Knicks won in 1970 after the Willis Reed Game 7 heroics we talked about in the May 8th edition of This Dish. In 72, the Lakers won the series. In this game, Reed scored 18 and pulled down 12 rebounds. Earl the Pearl Monroe had 23, and future presidential candidate Bill Bradley added 20 to power the Knicks to the title. In 1974, it was the New York Nets winning the ABA championship game, also in 5 games, as they beat the Utah Stars. New York loved their baby Nets back then, packing the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Uniondale on this night. The Nets were a young team with an average age of 23, and most of the guys on the team had played less than 3 years professionally. The Nets built a double-digit lead in the third quarter, only to cough it up in the fourth, trailing midway through before closing out the game on a 16-4 run to win the title. Julius Erving, who came over from the Virginia Squires to play for the Nets prior to the start of the year, scored 21 and pulled 16 rebounds. Larry Keenan led the Nets with 23, and baby Huey Billy Potts had 21 and 12. In 2015, it was Ricky Fowler putting on a late surge at the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass. Fowler played the final six holes of the tournament 6-under par to vault him into a three-player playoff. Fowler eagled the 16th, birdied the famed 17th, you know, the one with the island green, and then he birdied the 18th. For the playoff, Fowler, Sergio Garcia, and Kevin Kisner went back to the 17th. Fowler once again birdied the hole along with Kisner, and Garcia was eliminated. The pair went back to the 17th tee. Fowler hit his tee shot to 4 feet and rolled that putt in for his third birdie at the 17th hole in a span of about 90 minutes to win the Players' Championship. It was Fowler's second career PGA Tour win. And in 2014, the St. Louis Rams selected linebacker Michael Sam in the 7th round of the NFL Draft, becoming the first openly gay player selected in the NFL Draft. Sam was an All-American and 2013 SEC Defensive Player of the Year at Missouri. He played in the preseason with the Rams, but never played an NFL regular season game. The Rams released him in the final round of cuts in August. The Dallas Cowboys picked him up on waivers, but released him a few weeks later. While there are some who believe he was released because of his sexuality, and I'm not saying he was or he wasn't, but making a pro football roster as a 7th rounder is pretty tough. Of the 41 picks made in the 7th round that year, only 22 made a 53-man roster. Time now for today's non-sports Did You Know? There is a fence in Australia that is designed to keep dingoes separated from sheep that is 3,488 miles long. That's about the same distance from Seattle, Washington to Key West, Florida. That's all for today. I'll be back tomorrow with another edition of This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You gotta go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.